In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God,
Merciful Father, I, a poor and miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temple and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We continue with the Christmas intro. As for me, I have set my King. I will tell the decree. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage,
and the ends of the earth your possession.
As for me, I have set my King
on Zion, my holy hill.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
We continue with the office hymn number 87. Most merciful God, you gave your eternal word to become incarnate of the pure Virgin. Grant your people grace to put away fleshly lusts, that they may be ready for your visitation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for today comes to us from Isaiah chapter 52, beginning with the 7th verse. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has barred his holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Here endeth the reading. We continue with the Christmas gradual. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. The Lord hath made known his salvation. The epistle comes to us from Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed to be heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But the son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Here endeth the reading. We continue with the Christmas hymn, number 94.
Thank you.
please rise. The sentence for the season. Hallelujah. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad before the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We continue by confessing our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten.
Please be seated for the hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Saints in Christ, Merry Christmas. Today, the text for our consideration is the Gospel according to St. Luke, that very familiar Christmas text, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Hear now the Holy Gospel, as was inspired by the Holy Spirit, to be written by St. Luke. And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out to the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So far the text. My question to you, why? Why did God our Father choose this time in history to send his Son incarnate in the flesh to be born in the manner in which he was born? Why did God choose that date? Only God knows for certain, but we theologians and historians can come up with some good possibilities on this. And I'm going to follow along with what Dr. Paul Meyer had to say about this. Let's look at the world at that time. The civilized world was the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire stretched from Britannia to the Persian Gulf, from England through Saudi Arabia. That was a big empire. They controlled all of that. And not only did they control it, they built roads. Many of those roads you can still find today. They're still there, made of stone. And it was safe to travel on those roads. There were soldiers stationed along the roads so that if you took off and went down the road to carry out business, that you had a caravan that you was going somewhere, you could rely upon the Roman government to have soldiers out there to protect the route. There was safety in travel. There was safety upon the sea also, the Mediterranean Sea. For you see, the Romans, they didn't mess around with criminals. They annihilated all the pirates, all those who would try to rob from ships. They got rid of them. So basically, the Mediterranean Sea was controlled by the Roman Navy, and commerce took place. Ships went back and forth all around the Mediterranean, carrying goods, carrying out trade. So you could get easily from one place to another by a road or by ship. Well, what are you going to do when you get there? Well, can you speak the language? At this time, there was a common business language. Much as English is the business language of the world today, the business language at that time was Koine Greek. So, you have the Pax Romana, the peace of the Roman Empire, where you could travel about by road, by ship, you were guarded, you were protected, and where you went to carry on your business, there you could basically speak the language that was spoken all over. Where did Jesus set up his headquarters for his ministry? What town? Capernaum. Why? It's at the crossroads of many trade routes. People coming, people going. So, we think that God chose this time because it was an opportune time for the Word of God to go out throughout an entire empire easily in the language that was used by the entire empire, Koine Greek. And God uses other means for things. God uses pagans. He uses bad people to do things for him. I.e., in the reading, Caesar Augustus, a pagan Roman emperor. God used him to say there's going to be a census. And that census said that if you're born in Bethlehem, or your family history is from Bethlehem, you go back to Bethlehem to register and pay your taxes. So using the decree of a pagan emperor, God then enabled prophecy to be fulfilled that the Messiah would be born in the city of David, which is Bethlehem. And of course, if we look at the time date stamps that we kind of have here throughout Scripture, Meyer says that we can put Jesus' birth somewhere between 8 and 4 B.C. Luke continued, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." The Savior of the world is born. Did he come as a conquering king, as the Jews wanted? Did his mother wrap him in a nice Tyrian purple blanket and lay him in a cradle of solid gold? No. No. He came in the most simple of ways. His parents did not have a lot of money. We know that because when they went to take Jesus to the temple in 40 days, they could only afford a dove to make the sacrifice. They couldn't afford the lamb. She had swaddling clothes, simple cloths that she made, much as the same as all the poor people in that area made to wrap their babies after they were born. And his cradle, it was a feed trough filled with hay where she laid him. And of course, looking at this text, as we have talked about in Bible study, there's a lot more that we could talk about here. How many believe Jesus was born the night that they arrived in Bethlehem? Don't. He wasn't. What does Luke say? When the days were accomplished. So it didn't happen that very night. But we got to get everything condensed into an hour program, right? Yeah, that's why we put it all together. And there was no room for them in the inn. Is the innkeeper the villain? We got two different ideas here. The inn they're talking about here is the guest room in a house. It's not a hotel. So when Mary and Joseph arrived, Joseph, being from that area, had all kinds of relatives there. And they went and stayed with one of the relatives, and Mary gave birth to Jesus in that relative's home on the main floor of the home, because on the lowest floor is where the animals were kept. So if you had animals, you had feed troughs filled with hay to feed them. He was born in the house. She laid him in that feed trough. He came in the most simplest of ways. Luke continued. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." An angel appeared to some shepherds out in the field. Again, the angel didn't go see King Herod. The angel didn't go to go see Caesar. The angel didn't go and talk to the governor. The angel was sent as God's messenger to those who were on the lowest rung of the vocational ladder at that time, shepherds. And the angel came to him, to them. What's the first thing he said? Fear not. When you think of an angel, do you think of that cute little thing you got sitting on your shelf at home? Or the little cherub maybe out in a garden or out in your yard? Or maybe we could think of the movie A Wonderful Life and think of when we die, we become angels, but we got to do something good and get our wings, right? All that is wrong. Angels are mighty, powerful beings. They are messengers of God. In Hebrew, it's called malak. In Greek, it's anglios. God says, you go and tell. And that's what they did. The angel went, this powerful being, and told the shepherds. And so if you're out there in the middle of the night, and all at once the sky is lit up, and there's this powerful being there, would you be afraid? I know I would be. I would be. And this fear continues today, does it not? I think so. The fear of God continues today in our world. People are afraid of God the Father because they know they are unrepentant sinners, that they are denying Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they are living a lifestyle that is immoral and impure. And so they're afraid. And not only that, they are so secularized, they hate Christians. And Christmas is nothing more than a time of partying and revelry and handing out of gifts. This morning, I get on my computer and I bring up the internet and I like to look at the news. One news site I go to is the British Broadcasting Corporation because they really got a lot of news on there about what's going on in the world. The biggest news agency in the world had nothing, nothing about Christmas. I went to Europe, nothing. I went to the Middle East where they usually have a big celebration and they talk about Jesus being born. There was nothing. Why? Because unbelievers hate Christians, and they are afraid of God. We don't fear, do we? We have no fear because we know that Jesus came for us, that Jesus died for us, that he came to bring peace between us and God the Father. For next thing that happened was this huge heavenly host began singing, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Is there peace on our earth today? Secondly, no. Is there peace on earth for all of us today? Yes. Because we baptized Christians know that Jesus came, Jesus died for us, Jesus redeemed us from our sin and made peace between us in our Heavenly Father. That is the peace that the heavenly host sang about. Luke continued. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is to come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. All that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in their heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard as it was told unto them. Again, God goes to the lowliest. They come to that little house in Bethlehem. There they see a young mother who wrapped her newborn child in swaddling clothes the same way that their wives do for their babies. They were Jews. They knew that the Messiah was coming. They knew the prophecy. And there he was before them. God chose them to hear the good news of salvation, that the Messiah had arrived. So what did they do? They went out and they proclaimed that good news and told all kinds of people, whoever they came across, what they saw, what they heard. And here now we have this young woman, somewhere around 15 years of age. She knows that the baby that she is holding, the baby that she is nursing, is the very Son of God. She is Theotokos, the Mother of God. The awe and the wonder that filled her are beyond our imagination. So again I say, Merry Christmas. Our Savior is born. Advent is over. He has come. He is here. He is with us. He has brought salvation unto us. He has brought peace to earth because he has redeemed us from our sin so that our Father's wrath against us is now gone. We sing glory in excelsis. We sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive its King. Every heart, prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise for the offertory. Rise for the prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, you reign over all the earth. We lift up our voices and sing for joy to you in celebration of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preserve this delight among your people throughout the entire church year. Lord, in your mercy, send forth men to publish your peace
and bring us your good news of happiness. Keep them faithful to declare your gracious reign in Christ. Bless the work of missionaries at home and abroad, that all the ends of the earth may see your salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, the great mystery of the Incarnation was first believed and proclaimed by common men and women, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. Give us confidence to tell the joyful message of our Savior's birth, life, death, and resurrection, that your Spirit may work the miracle of faith as he wills. Lord, in your mercy, grant healing, peace, patience, and faith that endures to all who suffer sickness in mind or body, to all those who are homebound, and to any who ask our prayers. Lord, in your mercy, the great love that laid your Son in a manger also lays his flesh and blood before us in bread and wine. Grant us grace to bow our hearts before him with all those in heaven and on earth who adore him, that we may receive his forgiveness and life with repentance and joy. Lord, in your mercy. In the birth of your Son, you have called people from all times and places into the body of Christ, his church. We give you thanks for all the believers who have gone before us, especially for those who have been with us during Christmases past, and now live with you. Give us a sure confidence in your promise of the resurrection and eternal life, and bring us at last together with them in your presence at the full coming of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear us, O Lord, for the sake of your Son, the Word, who became flesh, the Savior of the nations, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast given us a new revelation of thy glory, that seeing thee in the person of thy Son, we may be drawn to the love of those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it, break it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Take, drink, all of you. This cup is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God, the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in the sacrament, and we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.